Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
Each year, I do a message at the beginning of the year I call Vision Sunday. And what it is, it's kind of a time when I seek the Lord for the last couple, 3 months and just ask Him, what does He want to say? What is on His heart for us this coming year? And we're going to be talking about a message I've entitled, How to Become a Butterfly. And if you would, open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Put a little marker in there. And when you find it, if you'd stand with me, we're going to read verse 1 together. Someone once said, the caterpillar is the most confused creature which roams the earth, because undoubtedly stamped within its soul is the call to fly. We all remember learning about caterpillars, don't we? You know, did you know that you and I, we're like caterpillars in a lot of ways? Because stamped within our soul is the call from our Heavenly Father to fly, to be something new, a new creature, to be something beautiful, to become a butterfly. Caterpillars go through 4 stages of growth. I've used Lindsay's little chart here of the life cycle of the caterpillar. Before the transition is complete, it first starts as an egg, then they hatch into caterpillars, next they form into a cocoon called a chrysalis, and then the miracle takes place. And eventually, out emerges a beautiful butterfly. Let's read verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 3 together. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose unto heaven. It's true, isn't it? We all want results. We all want progress. We all want things to be better. And we all want those changes to happen a lot faster than they usually do, don't we? The key point here is God has called each of us on a spiritual journey. And during this journey, we must go through stages. There are seasons through which our soul must travel. And these stages will result in what God calls a new birth. Birth is the process of becoming a butterfly. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that You would speak to us, each one of us individually, personally, today. That You would challenge us, that You would comfort us, that You would encourage us, that You would strengthen us. And Lord, that You would give us vision, that we might see part of Your plan and purpose for us this coming year, 2013. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever watched a caterpillar? You know, they crawl along the branches. They go up on the top and under the leaves of the plants. And sometimes they'll even hang upside down. It's as if it wonders, is today the day? The day when I begin my process of becoming a butterfly? Is this the day my transformation will take place? And then they just return to doing what they do best. Eating, eating, and eating some more. Each day they grow, don't they? They grow and they grow. It's so amazing how fast they grow. Have you ever had tomato plants? Yeah. 3 tomato worms can eat up a whole huge tomato plant, taller than we are. It's amazing how fast they can just eat the plant. And sometimes you and I were a lot like caterpillars. We're walking up and down the branches and exploring all over the leaves, going this way and that way from stem to stem. And we feel like what? We're not really accomplishing anything that much. Just kind of going through life. We stop and we wonder, is this the day? Is today the day? Will my life change soon? Will I begin that process towards the next step, that next season, that next place that God has for me? Yet we find out all so often, today's not the day. It's just time to wait. Wait a little longer. So what should we do when that happens? Well, we got to remember God's promises to us. Stay focused on preparing us for what He has called us to do, remembering His promises. And what should we do? Like the caterpillar, eat. Eat some more of God's word so we can grow strong in Him. Amen? Spending time in prayer, spending time in worship, preparing and strengthening ourselves, spirit, soul, mind, and body, growing strong in the Lord and in His word, working toward that destiny that God has for us. He has a goal and a destiny that He's prepared for each one of us. And that destiny is stamped upon our heart and upon our soul. It's at times like these when life can become very boring, very mundane, very routine, and very dry. Perhaps that's descriptive of your life. Your spiritual life right now. Because that's that caterpillar life every day, just eating and doing the same old thing. But if you think about it, it's an awful long walk for a caterpillar to go to another plant nearby, isn't it? So he's kind of stuck on the plant that was chosen for him. And he can do one of two things, just nothing and die, or he can eat and grow strong and develop so he's ready at the right time when the next stage for him to enter. Perhaps we should do what the caterpillar does. He eats and eats and he grows and grows, but he also practices something in between those eating and growing times. He keeps practicing hanging upside down, waiting. Is this the day? You know, they're almost funny. They're comical as you see them hanging from branches and leaves, and they just kind of hang down. You think they're going to drop, and they flip back up again. And why do they keep doing that? I think I know why. They're looking to find life in a different perspective. I mean, you got to admit, everything's got to look different hanging upside down. You gain a new perspective, don't you? Amen. So perhaps we need to gain a new perspective too, spiritually speaking, for our spiritual lives. And so this may be a challenge or an encouragement to many of us here today, of trying to gain a new perspective on how we might see things differently, how God might grow us and develop in us new things in this coming year in new ways. And particularly if you've come to a point where you're just kind of stuck in a rut and going through a routine in your spiritual life, I think this might really help you. Now, I'm going to give you some suggestions. We're going to look at 8 things real quickly. And these 8, along with another one that I didn't include, are all written in a one-page article that I found very fascinating, taken and excerpted from a magazine put out by Campus Crusade for Christ. And so if you'd like a copy of that, it's back on the table in the back. I made copies for each one of you if you'd like one. So how can we gain a new perspective when our quiet time, our walk with God, becomes ritual, becomes rote? And I like this. It was interesting. They just come up with some very simple, very easy, doable things for us to do. One is just take a walk. Take a walk. Sometimes it's just good to unplug from our daily duties, our daily routines, our daily activities, and unplug from all of the electronics that clutters our lives and just get out into the fresh air, get a new perspective, and take a walk. Enjoy nature. Enjoy the Lord and what He might have for us. Gives us opportunity to refresh and refocus in prayer. Secondly, read aloud or listen to the Bible and sermons. Read aloud. Have you ever done that where you've been reading the Bible and you just come to a place where you stopped and you just said, I just want to read that out loud? You know, the Bible says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There's something about it, and I can't fully explain it. There's something about hearing God's Word. That's why it's important on Sunday mornings to hear God's Word preached. There's something about it that builds faith in a unique way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that gate of our ears and hearing it. And sometimes God says, you know what? There's no other voice to use but you and I, and I'm not going to speak to you right now audibly. You need to speak it audibly. I'd like Him to speak audibly too. Thirdly, pray through a psalm. Pray through a psalm. When's the last time you've just picked up a psalm and prayed it out loud? Made it your prayer. That's what it is. The psalms are like they're a hymnal. They're a songbook and a prayer book. They're a prayer guide for us because they're given to us as a gift because these writers who wrote the psalms, they poured out the depth of their soul in agony and the heights of their spirit in ecstasy before the Lord. They range and describe every human emotion that you and I experience through our Christian walk. And so wherever you are emotionally in your experience before God, you can find a psalm that'll match that place, that can be made your personal prayer to God. And sometimes when you find a place where you just go, Lord, I'm in a place where I don't know what to pray, the psalms provide words to our feelings, our fears, our joy, our sorrows. Fourthly, reminisce, just simply reminisce, reflecting on God's goodness. Just taking time to just sit and do nothing for maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes, but just reflect and rehearse the goodness of God. How good He's been, how faithful He's been. Over the years, remembering what He's done in your life, remembering back in the newness, the freshness, the early days when you met Jesus Christ. I love what Psalm 77 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Number 5, be still. That's a tough one sometimes, isn't it? Be still. Silence and solitude are two of the most forgotten disciplines, I think, in our technological age as Christians. Just silence and solitude. Those of you that know me well know I have a kind of a weird habit. I don't turn the radio on or listen to CDs very often in my car. The only time I will is if I'm going on a long drive, like from here to San Diego or from here to Arizona. But just driving around town and here and there, it's my time to just shut down, think, and meditate, and just think about God. Ponder Him. And sometimes we just need to turn the noise off in our lives and just take downtime to think about Him. So often, I meet the Lord in such profound ways when I'm quiet and still before Him, because it's only then that I can really hear that still, quiet voice. I have to get out of the whirlwind of my life to hear His still voice. Psalm 63 says this, O God, You are my God. Early I will seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches because You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me. Number six, copy out Scripture. Write it out. I was blessed. Someone put a verse of Scripture on my desk today. It's just printed out on a paper, laminated, and stuck it on my desk. I don't know exactly who did it. I got an idea who might have done that and given me that gift. But it's so cool to just write out Scriptures. If you get a birthday card from me each year, if I know your birthday, I send you a birthday card. If you don't get one, that's your clue. I don't know your birthday. Thank you, Kathy. If you're not getting one, I just don't know your birthday. But you get a birthday card from me, and each year I give you a Scripture from God's Word to hang on to that year. But there's something about writing it out. I found this the other day on our end table in our family room. It's a Scripture just Lord wrote out on this card. I don't know why exactly, but I love seeing these things. And I'm sure it edifies and blesses her. And it blesses me too, because I get to pick it up and read it. Writing out Scripture, meditating on it, that the Lord would give you a verse and you're just like, I gotta hang on to this. I need this right now. Meditating on it. Maybe on a post-it note. Now, I have provided in your bulletins this week a 3x5 index card. You probably wondered why that was in there. There's a reason. And this is a challenge I'm going to make to you this year. Okay? Next week, we're going to begin a new series, and we're going to be teaching through Psalm 119. I expect it to be about 8 messages. I could do half a year on Psalm 119. That so much is in there. But I don't want to do a real long time, but I'm looking at about 8 messages, so about 2 months in Psalm 119. This is my challenge to you. Each week that you would take a verse, just one verse out of Psalm 119, write it on a card of some sort. You've got one for this week. And memorize, put that verse to memory. When's the last time you've memorized a verse of Scripture? Think about that. Just let that settle in. Because I know all of us, you're just saying, Pastor Steve, you're asking me to learn 8 verses in 8 weeks. Yeah, when's the last time you have put to memory a verse of Scripture? Think about that. So, is this maybe a good thing for us? 8 weeks, something in Psalm 119. This next week, we're going to do like verses 1 through 24, 25. Okay, the first kind of 3 stanzas. So maybe pick one out of that week's teaching. That would be good. You're not going to be quizzed on it, but something I encourage you to do. It certainly won't hurt your spiritual life a bit. Number 7, just sing, sing. Put on a Christian worship CD. There's some in the back. Just put it on and sing and worship the Lord. When's the last time you've done that? Just singing to the Lord. Maybe make your car your sanctuary and just turn up the volume and, you know, sing to the Lord. Maybe it's in the shower. Don't bring any electronic devices into the shower with you. I should make that disclaimer. You never know in our society. But just sing to the Lord. Make a place where you can just worship God out loud, not just on Sunday morning. Number 8, pray in a different posture. Pray in a different posture. Lately, I've been kind of doing this for the last few months. Lori hasn't even asked me why. But just when we have our devotion time in the evening, our prayer time, normally I kind of stand up, or maybe we'll be kind of sitting up or laying up in bed. But lately I've been just kneeling. And it's interesting because I was reminded that when I was an early new Christian, I used to always do my prayer time at night kneeling by my bed. Kind of like a little child in a pitcher, you know, five-year-old child, now I need me now to sleep type of thing. And it's just different. It's different in a different posture. And just break out of the routine. Break out of the road. Do a different posture. If it's sitting, if it's standing, if it's... When's the last time you've laid prostrate before the Lord? You know, we just got through with the study in Book of Revelation. How many times was John and the elders and the angels prostrate before the Lord? That is a very, very biblical position for prayer. Amen? Just laying prostrate before the Lord. But change your prayer posture. Those are some things to kind of mix things up. So that's what to do when you're in that caterpillar stage of growing and eating and developing and waiting on the Lord. But what do we do to survive that stage of the cocoon? Because that's the next stage of the caterpillar's life. Because after 2 weeks of constant eating, it's time then for the caterpillar to form around itself this chrysalis or pupa. From the outside, the chrysalis doesn't look like anything's happening. It doesn't look like much from the outside. In fact, we often see these hanging from a branch and don't really pay much attention to them at all. They're usually not very attractive, and we could see them hanging around a branch around our house, and it's just like, oh yeah, whatever. Because they're not going to hurt us in any way. They're not harmful. They're just kind of there hanging around. They're not very pretty. They're no threat. But like the caterpillar, you and I are on a journey, and that journey is that process that we call the Christian life. That's that journey. And God is involved in every detail of the process, every single detail of the process. I love what Job says about this in chapter 23, verse 10. But he knows the way I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. God knows the way I take. He knows the path I'm walking on. He knows what's happening in my life right now. And he is involved and he's active in that process of my Christian life as he is with yours. And sometimes that process is very difficult, isn't it? Sometimes the process is painful, but God sees and he knows, he understands exactly what's taking place. And the good thing is, like we sang about today in our worship set, Romans 8:28, he not only knows, but he's got a plan and a purpose for everything that he's going to work together for our good. Now, when other people look at us, what do they see? They just see an ugly, ordinary cocoon. So they look at me and they go, oh, he's ugly, he's ordinary. They look at you and say the same thing, because that's what we look like from the outside. Ah, but God sees something different, doesn't he? Because he sees what he's doing and what's taking place inside. God sees what's taking place within the cocoon when other people, they can't. Do you remember when Samuel went to anoint a king for Israel? And God told him something. He said, when you go to Jesse and you ask him about his sons, I'm going to warn you. Don't look at the outward appearance. Don't look at his outward external physique, looks, height, stature, personality, charm. Don't look at that, because that's not what I look at. I look within. I look at the inside and I see the heart. God is looking inside. He doesn't bother paying much attention to the facades we throw up outside. So God looks at the heart and he sees what others don't see. What does he see? He sees what's taking place inside my cocoon, inside that cocoon. The key point, it's in the cocoon that transformation takes place. It's only in the cocoon, but it's there that transformation takes place. How does it take place? Well, naturally, and this is amazing, when a caterpillar is finished growing, it forms this pupa or chrysalis. From the outside, the pupa looks like it's resting. But inside, every part of the caterpillar is changing. Yeah, most of its organs and other body parts literally dissolve into liquid, and then they reform into new organs and new parts to create a creature with wings that can fly. Wow, a butterfly. This is such an amazing miracle that scientists have a word for it. You know what I'm talking about, metamorphosis. Yeah. And they can't explain it. It blows evolution out the water. Within days, you're talking about a caterpillar dissolving into itself. It dissolves into liquid and reconstitutes itself into new organs and new parts, into a butterfly. How does that make any sense? That's a miracle. That's astounding. And the best they come up with is this change takes place and we call it metamorphosis. Houdini had a trick called metamorphosis. Sounds like magic, doesn't it? Sounds like a spark of God's divine wisdom. Now, that's naturally, but spiritually, in the cocoon, it can be a time when we're confined to a place we don't like. It can be a season of aloneness. And like David, remember David, who was anointed king, that seventh or eighth son of Jesse? He spent days and weeks and months alone in the fields, watching over the flocks of his father, worshiping the Lord. And some of those worship songs we call psalms, they're in our Bibles today, but the Father was preparing him during those seasons of aloneness. And we often despise the cocoons, don't we? We don't like it. But God is preparing us in the cocoon for our spiritual life, for our spiritual development. He's working on our character. He's developing our calling. And it may be our marriage. It may be our job. It may be our relationship with other people. It may be a living situation we've found ourselves in. But if you think about it, I'm convinced that every single child of God spends time in the cocoon. Or shall I say, seasons in the cocoon. It's not just once. There are seasons in the Christian life when God brings us to that place I want to call the cocoon. And we see that through the Bible. I mean, let's go back to Abraham. Think about it. God called him to do what? Leave his father's house and go where? I don't know. God didn't tell him. He just said, go, leave your father's house. I'll show you where. That's radical. That's radical. Can you imagine God telling you you're supposed to get up and move, sell everything and move? Where, God? I'm not telling you until you start out. And you're going to pack up your family and everything you have in the U-Haul and start driving. Where? You don't know. That's crazy. That's called the cocoon. Jacob fled from Esau, and he was separated from his family for over two decades, all alone. Joseph served Potiphar, and then he served in the prison of Pharaoh for more than a decade, completely alone in a foreign land, locked up in a prison cocoon. Daniel was taken to Babylon. As a teenage boy, he never left Babylon his whole life. But God had the cocoon of Babylon for Daniel to prepare him for all of the amazing ministries and the calling and plans and purposes he had for him there to fulfill. Peter denied the Lord, wrapped up in a cocoon where he had mirrors around that thing, and all he could see was himself for who he really was and not who he thought he was. Paul was in the desert for many years, put out to pasture. Think about it. In the prime of his life, God puts him out to pasture for years, preparing him for the ministry that he had for him, waiting on the Lord. The Apostle John, he's banished to the Isle of Patmos. He's all alone. He feels like his life is completely over. That's where he's going to end his life. And God says, You ain't seen nothing yet. And he opens the heavens, and we have the book of Revelation that are all those visions that God gave to him there on that island. And he didn't die there. Yeah. I want you to consider today, though, the prophet Isaiah. That's who I want to look at. But before we turn there, I want to give you an opportunity to share with me some verses from the book of Isaiah that have ministered to you. You don't have to know the reference, but I'm just going to let you just kind of call it out. Give me some verses. Just call out a verse that you... And... But I don't want just a reference. I want to hear it. Go ahead and say it.
Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you.
Amen.
I will uphold you with my righteousness.
Praise God. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Let's keep going. Come on, there's a whole lot more to Isaiah.
Isaiah 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, I send.
Praise the Lord.
Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall walk in upward ways.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear.
46:9. I solely urge for you in the name of the morning of the Spirit of God.
12:1. O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength.
Isaiah 28:9, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand the message? Those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast.
Praise the Lord.
Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Amen. Turn with me to chapter 6. It's interesting. There was only one verse spoken, and it was just what Ray spoke to us, that was quoted from before chapter 6. And what was that verse? Woe. Because everything Isaiah had to say before chapter 6 and the experience that we're going to read today was woe, woe, woe. Woe to Israel, woe to the nations around them. It wasn't until after his experience in chapter 6 that he was ready for the fullness of the anointing that God had for him. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it's there that Isaiah is taken by God into a cocoon that is going to transform his life forever. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" So in verse 1, we see that it was at a strategic point in time that this cocoon was wrapped around Isaiah, and it was in the year that King Uzziah died. We have to understand something about King Uzziah. He was one of the greatest kings in the whole Bible over Israel. And there are pages written about this man. He was an inventor. He had a worldwide reputation. And he was a strong king, and he loved the Lord, and he served him, and he walked in the ways of the Lord. King Uzziah was an amazing king. Yet, it wasn't until King Uzziah died that Isaiah was now able to see the Lord. God had to take Isaiah into this experience when he could get his eyes off of this king. And it's often when we have our eyes on people, power, position, prestige, and places that we miss that next step that God may be calling us to. And so here God is calling Isaiah to this place in the cocoon, but it's there in the cocoon that God is going to really give him a new revelation of who he is. So three things take place in Isaiah's cocoon. In verse 5, we see that Isaiah's disillusioned. But God enlightens him to what? Some things about himself. God shows Isaiah his own sin in the cocoon. And he also in the cocoon shows Isaiah how great and awesome and powerful he is. These are revelations that come to Isaiah in the cocoon. Because Isaiah didn't see God any longer in the situation in Israel. He saw the greatest king of Israel, that this man was dead now. What was going to happen to life? Life as he knew it was going to be over. And God said, "No, it's not over. And I'm very well aware of what's taking place on earth. I know exactly what's happening. I know what the needs of my people are. And I am going to take care of them." And so Isaiah discovers these things in the cocoon of this vision of God's throne over all the earth. And then in verses 6 and 7, we see Isaiah discouraged, but God encourages him. He shows him that his sins are forgiven, and he has a whole new awareness of his cleansing. He has a freedom that he's not experienced before from sin, and he has a confidence before the Lord that is stronger than he's ever ever experienced. He is equipped and empowered in new ways to serve the Lord, isn't he? In verse 8, we find that Isaiah was disengaged, and now what is he? He's like fully engaged. He enlists in God's service. He's willing to go wherever God wants him to go, do whatever God wants him to do, willing to do whatever is needed. No longer is he focused on the past or even the present. He is focused on the future. God, what do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do? What is coming up next? I want to do it. I want to be there. I have submitted myself to your plans. So before the cocoon of Isaiah 6, Isaiah the prophet was faithful to the Lord, but he was in the caterpillar stages of his life and ministry. He was faithful. He was quoting the word of the Lord. He was doing what he was told to do. But it wasn't until after he went into that cocoon and God transformed him and showed him who he was that something great happened. Because all the greatest revelations and the greatest prophecies that would come forth from him, prophecies of the birth of Jesus, prophecies of the life of Jesus, prophecies of the ministry of Jesus, prophecy of the death and the suffering of Jesus, prophecy of the resurrection of Jesus, prophecy of the second coming of Jesus and the millennial kingdom of Jesus, all that takes place after chapter 6, after he spends time in the cocoon. That's when we have the greatest revelation. That's when he quotes all those verses that are so dear and cause our hearts to be strengthened in so many great ways from all of those chapters. But where did all that come from? It came out of the cocoon. So how do we survive the cocoon? The cocoon is a time of separation. It's a time when we're called away from all those things that we desire and those plans of our own, and we're completely separated unto God. And the key point is separation precedes transformation. Separation precedes transformation. And it's not until we are separated that we can truly draw nigh unto the Lord. That's what he says in James 4, 8. Draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. But we have to separate from a lot of things, and it's there in that cocoon that we do it. Now, we think this would be the hardest thing, is just waiting. And waiting is all part of the process, and it's hard. But for the butterfly, oh, the hardest part is breaking out of that cocoon. But that's all part of the process, isn't it? The process of breaking free from the cocoon at the right time. Not prematurely. The butterfly becomes strong enough to fly and to achieve its destiny and its purpose and its function only through the process of breaking free out of the cocoon at its proper time. And if the butterfly breaks free prematurely, it's not going to survive out of the cocoon. It has to have time to develop its necessary parts to be able to fly. So God doesn't simply want to get us to our destiny. That's what we think. It's like, God, just get me to my destiny. Would you just get me there? No, he wants you to get there, but he wants you to thrive and fly when you get there. He wants you to succeed in that place of his calling and that place of his purpose. In Isaiah's prophecy, it's interesting, these seraphim, they have their wings, six wings, don't they? Like butterflies, they're kind of flying all around the presence of God. But did you notice as they get their wings and they're able to fly, they don't just fly away. They're drawing near the Lord. It causes them to fulfill the full function of their purpose, but they're right there in the presence of God waiting for instructions. What do you want me to do? Go get coals? Okay, I'll go get coals. They're worshiping God. They're ready and waiting on God, listening to him, worshiping him each moment there. So, you may be a caterpillar. You may be in that stage today. But each one of us have the word butterfly stamped on our soul, don't we? And you might be wondering, when is it time to fly? When is it my turn to get my wings and just spread out and fly? I've got everything I need. When am I going to get to fly? When am I going to finally get to do and fulfill all that I feel in my heart that I want to do? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you spent enough time in the cocoon? Because it's right there in that cocoon that you and I, we have trouble waiting on the Lord. It's there that many of the old things in our life have to die, dry up, dissolve, and disappear so that the new things that God wants to produce in our life, God wants to grow in our lives, can actually begin. New ministries that God wants to bring forth out of our lives. So it's during that process that we're to be eating, 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 growing, growing, growing. And then it's drawing near to the Lord in the cocoons that He creates for us, separating ourselves to His service, isolating ourselves to His will. It's there, in that place, that metamorphosis takes place in our lives and in our souls, isn't it? And we are changed into what? Into a butterfly. And that's when we're given new vision and new experiences and a new purpose. Now remember, I told you to put a little marker in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Would you stand with me? Let's read some more of that chapter. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose unto heaven. Now, these next verses kind of describe the life of a caterpillar. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Let's stop right there. And that's when the butterfly emerges. That's when now he is going to emerge from his cocoon, and the promise is given there in verse 11. Do you see it? It says he makes everything beautiful in his time. He makes butterflies. Only God can do that. And he has put eternity in their hearts. He stamps the word butterfly upon each one of our souls, doesn't he? And it says, except no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Why? Because that work is what we want to call metamorphosis. It's something that takes place in the cocoon that is a miracle by our sovereign God that we have no idea how he can possibly accomplish that. Yeah, no one seems to be able to figure it out, but God knows what he's doing, and he completes that work that he begins. Would you bow your hearts with me as we pray? Oh, Father, I pray for each one in this congregation today, Lord, that we would not become weary in doing well. And Lord, I pray that you would draw near to us as we draw near to you in this next year, 2013. Lord, that you would strengthen the weak, that you would encourage the downtrodden. And Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the promise that you make everything beautiful in your time, your perfect time. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.